Tonight I'll be preaching from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, for the preaching of God's word, and I'll be reading from verse 5 down to verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for how you use it time and time again to speak to our hearts, to challenge us into what you would have us to be and where you would have us to go. Dear Lord, without your word, we would be wandering aimlessly. But because of your word, we can have direction and guidance. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words you'll have me to say. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. Thank you again for the many blessings that we continue to receive from you. Use your word once again tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. One of the major priorities of life is to acquire an education. From a very early age, and it seems like it is getting earlier and earlier, we ensure that our children are in school, embarking on achieving this stated goal. As parents and those involved in the lives of younger ones, we spend countless hours, we spend significant effort and lots of resources, financial and otherwise, to make sure that those entrusted into our care have an education. Now, I believe that this is a very good thing. An education of some sort is key to functioning and to thriving in this world. But let me say that with all of our efforts made in acquiring this education and having our children acquire this education, how much time do we invest in ensuring that our children have a proper spiritual education? This responsibility is often taken very lightly. And even when attempts are made, oftentimes it is done very haphazardly and without consistency to achieve a targeted goal. Yet the God of the universe has admonished his representatives here on earth that educating our children in the things of God and in the Word of God is one of our main responsibilities as parents. Amen. I began the beginning of this year, I think, preaching this sermon series on Sunday evenings entitled Church Member Responsibilities. And each message that I've endeavored to preach by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God is an instruction that every single one of us, as members of the local church, I believe, ought to engage in, ought to embrace. And tonight I'd like to preach a message from our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6 by way of an instruction, by way of a responsibility given to us collectively as part of the greatest organism that God is using currently to further his kingdom here on earth. And this responsibility is to educate our children in the word. To educate our children in the word. Now, for context, I want us to understand that in the book of Deuteronomy, God is speaking to the children of Israel. And we understand that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And in choosing this special group of people, and by the way, they were not special because they were better than anybody else, but they were special because God chose them. And he chose them for a particular purpose, to be light and salt to the entire world. And so God's heart from the very beginning has always been for all humanity. But in his divine wisdom, he saw it fit to choose a select group of people through whom he would work, through whom he would demonstrate and manifest his power, so that all the nations of the world can be blessed through these people. So this is the group of people to whom God is speaking here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. But understand that in this age of grace in which we live, God's representatives, God's ambassadors, God's chosen group of people are born again believers. And we have the responsibility of representing the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth through his local church. Jesus speaking just before he would depart after his earthly ministry was complete, said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, speaking to his disciples, speaking to his church, "Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Look at that word again. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So we see in this Great Commission an emphasis on teaching others. My friend, if we're going to teach others, guess what? We must first be taught. And there is no more effective way in teaching than to emphasize teaching our children. I'm amazed at how children learn so much more easily, so much easier than after you get older. Here tonight we were mentioning verses, Luke 19:10, and that's a verse that was ingrained in my brain as a 5, 6, 7-year-old boy, and it just sticks. It's amazing the things that you learn as a child, they stick. Try to learn as an adult, they seem like they can't stick. It's just one of those things. And so if we're going to teach, and if we have a responsibility, which we do, by way of the Great Commission, my friend, men, women, boys and girls, there has to be an emphasis on teaching and teaching our children. And so I want to give you a little bit of a formula here tonight in the text, in the passage that we read, even though it's in an Old Testament passage. I believe that it's very applicable, as Jesus wanted us, by way of the Great Commission, to teach all nations. And I'm convinced that his formula and prescription for doing this effectively could never exclude an emphasis on teaching our children from a very early age. And so notice here, first of all, there has to be a decision and a willingness in educating our children in the word to, first of all, personalize our faith. Personalize our faith. Now, notice what the Bible says here in verse number 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Verse number 5, he says, number 6 rather, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine" what? "In thine heart. Now, even before, we'll see in the subsequent verses, he mentions about teaching, but here is what the Word of God is saying to us. Before you can embark on teaching, guess what? You have to make your faith personal and real. This is the foundation to everything else that will follow. You see, my friend, when our faith is half-hearted, it will not be effective in impacting our children in that particular direction. Notice these words here. Love the Lord thy God. I mentioned the same verse this morning. With all thine heart and all thy soul and all thy might. There has to be a personalization of our faith. My wife shared with me years ago about an incident in school. And she was in this, I think it was a physics or a chemistry class. And the teacher came in the class, and I guess he was a teacher who would teach both subjects, both chemistry and physics. I guess she had the same teacher. And he came in the class, and he begins to teach the class, and he goes to the board, and he says, "Wait, what class is this, physics or chemistry?" She said when she heard that, she knew that physics and chemistry was not for her. She dropped them immediately and was completely done with the subject. Here you have a teacher coming to a class, and he can't tell you, he's asking the students whether the class is physics or chemistry. That's an instant turn off. Completely lost the entire class, because he as the teacher didn't even know what he was supposed to be teaching. If we're going to be effective in teaching and imparting our faith to our children, guess what? It has to be real in our hearts. It has to be something that they can see that we are passionate about. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, from the very beginning, God emphasizes to the parents and to those who are imparting, listen, make sure this thing is real to you. Love the Lord your God for yourself with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. He has to be your God. You have to engage your whole heart. This half-stepping thing is not going to cut it. And it does more to turn others off than anything else. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. It's amazing how so many of these things are connected. That our faith has to move from a head knowledge to a heart. Why? Our heart is comprised of our intellect, our emotion, and our will. You ever notice that when something happens that might catch you off guard, take you by surprise, whether it's a good surprise, a bad surprise, you ever realize that your emotions, your immediate emotions, reflect how you really and truly feel? Because your emotion is a reflection of what your heart is feeling. And what we are engaged in by way of our faith, my friend, it is heart business. And so the first thing that is so very foundational to impacting and imparting and educating our children in what we understand to be the Word of God, we must first personalize our faith. But notice, secondly, after we personalize our faith, we can then begin to promote our faith. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. In other words, now that our faith has been made personal, we must then begin to promote it. We must let our children hear it. Hear what it is about. Hear what it involves. Hear what it entails. And notice, as we promote our faith, guess what? The first thing, we got to be very careful as to how we do it. In other words, we must dot all our I's, Cross all our T's. Listen, let them know what the Bible says. And here's what I'm telling you that we must do. We must teach our children to adjust and align themselves to the Bible, not to try to make the Bible adjust to them. Amen? Amen? Yes. Listen, it doesn't matter whether we are doing it right, which we ought to, but the Bible is the guide. Yes. You know, oftentimes we take the Bible and we try to get it to fit us. By the way, we ought not to be getting the Bible to fit us. We ought to fit ourselves to what the Bible says. And so we ought to be very careful as we, that's what diligence involves. Notice what the Bible says, teach them diligently. So diligent, being diligent involves a level of carefulness. That when I'm doing this thing, I'm going to make sure I do it precisely how it says. You ever try to assemble something and you didn't pay attention to the instructions, and after you realize it's because you didn't follow the instructions precisely, you put the desk together and the inside part is on the outside and the outside part is on the inside? Then we begin to go and look at the instructions. Right? So there has to be a certain level of care. That's what engaged in being diligent, to be careful. But notice, diligence requires not only carefulness, but it requires consistency. Understand that when the Bible says here, teach them diligently, it's speaking to, first of all, being careful, but it's talking about also being consistent. In other words, you can't do it today and then you don't do it tomorrow. You can't say, well, today is fine and tomorrow you do something else. It got to be consistently saying the same thing, doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Right, teachers? That's how you teach? I mean, if you are a teacher, you have to be willing to say the same thing today, tomorrow, next week, and say it over and over and over and over and over. If you don't like saying the same thing over and over, you can't be a teacher. So he says, be very diligent in doing this. Sometimes I can tell you as a parent, you might feel like your words are not having the desired effect. But eventually, I promise you, combine carefulness and consistency. Eventually, it will pay off. Why? God honors those two attributes. Why? Because they demonstrate a priority in being diligent. Inconsistency is one of those things that, as we would say in our local parlance, it throws a monkey wrench into really promoting our faith effectively to our children. And so there has to be a willingness to promote. Notice how the Bible says, listen, there's such a consistency seen in this verse. Listen, when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, be consistent, be careful as you promote your faith. But notice thirdly, in promoting our faith, notice oftentimes we are using our voices. We are speaking. But my friend, we're not going to teach our children the word without practicing our faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, and thou shalt bind them for a what? A sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now, you say, what are they talking about here? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as verse number 8 mentions about being binding what the word of God as a sign upon thine eyes. In these days, they did not have the benefit and the privilege of having their own personal copy of the word of God as we are so privileged to have. And so the scrolls might have existed in the tabernacle or whatever they had, maybe one copy. And so in an effort to teach and to impart the word of God to their children, they would bind verses or segments of the Word of God written on their hands and literally frontlets between their eyes. Why? Because as they see them, they would be able to see the words time after time. And it would be ingrained in their memories and in their hearts. This is a symbol of the fact that we ought not to just talk the talk, but we ought to walk the walk. So that when our children see us, the same faith that we promoted with our words, they can see it in our actions. My friend, there is no way to effectively impart the word of God to our children without leading by example. And in leading by example, here is how it is so effective. When it is seen, even when things get difficult. That would be a clear indication that your faith is real. It's not just portrayed and proclaimed when things are good, but it is worth standing for when I'm criticized wrongly, when I'm attacked, when there is so much at stake, even when I lose some privileges. Well, if you're going to stand for it in those times, well, that faith has to be a real faith. There has to be a willingness to practice our faith and for it to be consistent with what we have promoted. I tell you, so many young people and children have been lost because of seeing parents live an inconsistent Christian life. Saying one thing and doing another. And let me tell you something about children. They are observant. And they are not fooled. Sometimes it's scary to think about, what am I really communicating to my children as a parent? I mean, there's not going to be no perfect parent. I'm not implying that by any means. But I'm saying there has to be a willingness to ensure that what we are saying is consistent with what we are doing. There must be a willingness to practice our faith. And then notice, fourthly, in verse number 9, I refer to this as we must propagate our faith. But notice what it says in verse number 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. Now, this requires that the stages and the steps prior would have been put in place. You see what verse number 9 is referring to here. He says, put them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You know what that is speaking of? Where your home, because you would have consistently and carefully over an extended period of time promoted your faith and practice your faith in accordance with what has been promoted, that your faith has now become a legacy of your home. And so now it can be written on the post, written on the gates. Why? Because as others pass in the street and they pass along this home where faith is promoted and faith is practiced and it's consistent and it's done carefully, this home is now known as a home of faith, and a legacy is being created. This stage does not happen overnight, but it allows your faith to have legs, so to speak, because it's propagated beyond the walls of that home. What a great testimony that a home and that a household is known for a legacy of faith in the Word of God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And that's something that I want to challenge as a number of our young people here tonight were encouraged and challenged, and to every single one of you especially, that you embrace from a very early age a burning, yearning desire that God would allow you to be a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, that the home in which you live and lead, you're going to establish a legacy of faithfulness. I look at my parents and I look at their lives and had the opportunity to, of course, have a front row seat from birth and to see what God has done in their lives is a testament to the fact that being purposeful, being diligent, being consistent, and being careful over an extended period of time, that a legacy of faith can be established. And when a legacy of faith is established, my friend, it has far-reaching effects, beyond the walls of that home. And I didn't even know he was going to give a testimony tonight, but as you hear the sentiment of his heart, which was full of determination from a very early age, you can see how God brought that desire to pass. But it requires some carefulness. It requires some consistency. It requires a willingness to stand and stand alone when you know you're standing on the Word of God. My friend, this is where often we fall apart. But it has to be a willingness that, listen, even if I'm going to stand by myself, I'm going to stand with God. And in doing so, we can propagate our faith far and wide. In closing, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And I want you to notice, and this is a New Testament passage, just in case you think that this approach of impacting our children is only for the children of Israel and the Old Testament. Notice what Paul, speaking to his young mentee, Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And before I read this, I want you to notice that when we personalize our faith, when we promote our faith, when we practice our faith, and when our faith is propagated, guess what? The benefit is that our children are going to be protected by their faith. Notice what the Bible says in that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, and that. By the way, let's read verse number 14 because it's good for continuity. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a what? A child thou hast known the holy scriptures. There's too much ignorance of the Word of God. Too much ignorance of basic Bible principles, basic Bible stories, basic Bible verses. But notice this. Which are able to do what? Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. My friend, parents, even if you're not a parent, you can impact a young life. The word of God is able to make one wise. The reason why we have so many fools walking around is because they're ignorant of the word of God. And when you're made wise by the word of God, you will be protected. Let me tell you something if you don't know. It's a rough and tough world out there. And wisdom is needed to navigate the traps, to avoid the confusion, and to avoid the chaos. It's somewhat scary to think about what our children are going to be exposed to when they go off to college and out in the workplace. But I'm going to say this. I'm encouraged when I recognize that their faith is growing, when their faith is strengthened. Why? Because it's going to require a strong faith to be spared from the wrath that is in this world through lust. And so I say to all of our parents and to every adult here, let us band together. By the way, this thing of parenting, it's a collective effort. It's a team effort. I'm telling you, I've been helped. My wife's been helped in this responsibility of parenting our children, because we realize on our own, we're not effective. But when we allow others of like mind, of like faith, to encourage them to do the same thing, it works. And when they embrace this faith for themselves, they can be protected from the wiles and from the tricks of the devil. And we can encourage one another and teach them the word of God. This is a collective responsibility for our church. And may we do it with precision, with care, with consistency, so that we can protect them from the tricks of the devil. By the way, they'll ultimately have to make it their own. It has to be personal. You can't force it on. They have to take it on. But we have a responsibility to teach them. And let's do it from the earliest stage and continue and watch God do something special in their lives.